Well, good morning to you, New Gen, and Merry Christmas. What a great day it is. I pray and I believe that today that you are having a wonderful day with your family already, and that it's such an amazing day that we get to celebrate the Savior of the world. We get to celebrate Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And for those that don't know me, my name is Michael, I get the honor to preach the Word of God to you this morning. And I don't take it lightly, specifically for this day, because it is just such a special day, isn't it, that our Savior came. This is the day, this is the start where God drew the line in the sand. And so before I carry on and get all excited, because I am excited about the Word of God, we're going to turn to our Bibles into Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. But before we do that, I just like you to open your hearts this morning. We've read this text so many times, but at the same time, I just believe that God has a word for us in season. And not only just for us, but that as this word grabs our hearts this morning and that brings transformation, that Jesus will be glorified in and through it. And so I pray that by the Spirit of God, you would hear and you would see the nature of our Father. Amen. Right. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 25 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they were on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill that the Lord had spoken by the prophet out of Egypt, I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. And so, New Gen, this morning, as we've read the text, there's a reason for Christmas. There's a reason why today is the day that we celebrate this coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate because He has come. The Savior of the world that will bring peace and joy to His people has come. But not only that, is that God the Father has sent His Son to come and take back what was His, to restore that which was holy. All of His creation, the pinnacle of His creation, which is you and I, He desires for a people to be set apart, consecrated unto Him. He wants a people that will come to worship Him and to abide in His presence. And that is the reason why we see Jesus on this day coming to this earth, is because God is coming to redeem His creation and to redeem you and I back into His presence, that we may commune with Him and walk with Him and live with Him. And that is why Jesus, the Messiah, has come, the Savior of the world. There is a great joy in this morning. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. And so this morning, I want to go through a couple of scriptures with you, and I'm going to lay a foundation, and then we're going to get into some things towards the end, which I believe that God has been speaking to me for a couple of months. And so I'd like you to turn to your Bibles too. We're going to read four different passages of scripture very quickly, and then I'm going to explain to you what I believe God is saying to us this morning. In Psalms chapter 17, verse 6 to 8, it says this: "I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love. O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries, at your right hand, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." John 3:16 to 21 says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through Him." We're going to carry on to Genesis 1, 26, verse 27. There's a reason why I'm speaking all these, sharing all these scriptures with you right now. Genesis 1:26, it says this: "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And then lastly, Genesis 3 verse 8 says this: "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And so, church, out of this text of scripture, they all relate to each other. And the point that I want to get across to you this morning is, firstly, do we understand that we are the apple of His eye? We are the apple of His eye. And Christmas is not about us. Christmas is about Jesus. But this morning, there's a reason why I'm saying this, is that we are the apple of His eye, that we are the pinnacle of His creation, that He wants His people. He wants His people. He wants to redeem back that which is the apple of His eye. I want to say to you this morning, there is nothing that we need to do in order to become the apple of His eye. It's because what God created in the Garden of Eden, when He created Adam and Eve, He created holy and consecrated unto Him. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can come and that we have to work hard in order to be seen by Him. No, we don't. It's through the work of Jesus Christ. It's His redeeming grace in our lives that come, and we have been redeemed, and that we have been set apart for Him, that He comes and He calls us the apple of His eye. You don't have to do anything in order to be that, for He created you as the apple of His eye. And so this morning, we need to understand that we are so delightful to Him, that He loves us. For God so loved the world, He loves what He created with His own hands. He doesn't make a mistake. Secondly, the reason for these scriptures, if you read through them, there is this desire from God that we would be in His presence, that we would walk with Him, that we would abide with Him, that we would commune with Him, that we would be in relationship with Him, there would be an intimacy between us and Him. He desires to be worshipped. He wants to be enjoyed by His creation, and He wants to enjoy His creation. And so there's this desire for this relationship in His heart, and that is why He sends His Son Jesus. And so here at New Gen, on the wall, we have this big slogan that says, to know God and to make Him known. As many of you know, a relationship is not built on the knowledge of knowing somebody in terms of knowing about them. A relationship is built through intimacy, time, spending time, communing with each other, talking, walking, discussing life, growing together, sharing each other's weaknesses and strengths. It is just this beautiful thing that happens. There's this intimacy. There's an experience between you and another person. And God desires that. He wants to be known. And the only way that we can know God is if we have experiences with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. Better than that, just to walk with Him. He says in John 15, Jesus says, now Father, as I abide in you and you abide in me, may they abide in us and may we abide in them. It is just a beautiful uniting of His Spirit for this moment of intimacy between us and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is so powerful, and that is His desire for us. And so, in the slogan, to know God and to make Him known, I was thinking about a tangible experience for me to know something and then, or to know about something and actually to know it. And I was thinking about the birth of my children. For many years, I thought it was amazing of how a child would be born in terms of a husband and wife coming together and the seed and the development of the baby as it starts to grow and its DNA being formed and the eyes being formed, and the heart being formed, and the body being formed. And then 9 months later, here comes a baby. Here comes life. But I never appreciated that experience or that process or anything about that until such time as I had my three girls, when my wife gave birth to our three children. Every single time that I held my child in my arm, when I held Courtney, when I held Haley, and when I held Riley, it overwhelmed me because I was holding a miracle in my hand. The experience, many of you parents right now know exactly what I'm talking about. The day when you hold that child in your arms, you cannot believe how the child is breathing. How is that possible? How does this miracle actually work? It just blows your mind. And there's so much scientific proof as to how it works, but it just cannot compare to the experience of holding the life in the miracle in your hands. And so this is what it means to walk with God. That God wants us to experience Him. Not just know the Bible, and just not just to know the Word, and to know what it says. For even the demons and the devils and Satan himself know that Jesus lived and He existed and He walked on this earth. And so anybody can know that. Everybody can read this morning through Matthew chapter 1 to 25 that we know that Jesus came and He was the Savior of the world. That's wonderful. Many people would say, what an incredible man. But they have not encountered Him or in an intimate relationship with Him. And this is what God's desire. And so when we read the Bible, and if we think about over this last past year, maybe some of you have been suffering financially or whatever, or with sickness or whatever it might be. But when we glance over our shoulder and we look back into this year and we see that when our cupboards were empty and we didn't know what our children were going to eat, somehow God provided in those moments. And we can see the fingerprints of God in our moments of life throughout this year. And when we pick up the Word of God and we read that He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that He will not leave His seed begging for bread, that He will feed us and clothe us and shelter us. And when we read that text, that scripture, all of a sudden that becomes alive. That actually says you have had a Shekinah moment. You have had a manifested presence of God has come and visited your life. And so now from knowing what Scripture says to knowing what Scripture says, you have just experienced the hand of God. You have walked with Him in the last 12 months of your life. And as you look back, you can see the fingerprints of God. You can see His hand intervening in and through your life. You have had an experience with Him. And that is when the Word of God becomes alive. That it's not just a text and it's not just knowledge. But what it is, it's the living Word. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Savior of the world that has come to this earth. And this is what He wants, church. He wants to be known. He wants us to know Him. And He wants to be known here on this earth. And He wants His kingdom to be established. That doesn't come through a head knowledge of the Word of God. It comes through a heart revelation of His Word and His manifested presence in our lives when His Word becomes alive in us, that we walk with Him. And so this morning, there is a man, his name was Enoch, and he walked with God. And there were three things about Enoch when they say that he walked with Him. It was number one, that he trusted in God. He had a faith in Him. He had a faith in Him. When the Word of God in our lives is just knowledge, I don't believe you can have faith for what He's about to do. But when you've had an experience of God's hand, and then you see His Word, or you've read His Word, and then you see His Word play out in front of you, all of a sudden, faith comes into your heart. And so we see with Enoch that he trusted God. He had a faith in his God. Number two, he had a communion with God. He was in fellowship with Him. He spoke with God. And number three, most importantly, is that he obeyed God. And we see this with Enoch. And we see this with Noah. Church, the reality is that God wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to be in an intimate relationship, and that is why He sent His Son. Because His Son wants to be glorified. And He wants to be glorified through the worship that we will give Him when we are reunited with Him, the pinnacle of His creation, the apple of His eye. He desires to be worshipped. But then we know that sin came in and separated man from the presence of God. Adam and Eve were separated from the presence of God. Sin came in to this world. And so we see throughout the Old Testament that God, through many attempts with men and women, we see it with Moses, we see it with Joseph, we see it with David, we see it with Ruth, we see it with Solomon, we see it with so many men, with Noah, we see that God is trying to reset and bring His people to Him. He's trying to set apart His people and implement His kingdom over and over and over and over again. But there comes a day when God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm now going to take the matters into My own hands. And so, I want My people to know Me. I want My people to dwell in My presence again. But now it's My turn. Now I am coming to this earth in a form of a baby. The I am that I am is not using other people anymore. But what He's going to do is saying, I'm taking it upon Myself, and I'm coming in humility in the form of a baby. And I am coming to this earth, and I'm taking matters into My own hands. And church, I'm going to play a video for you right now. And I want you to see who this is that came to the earth on this day, the day of Christmas. Take a look.
God's nature never changes. He is and He will always be. He is who He is. That's what His name Jehovah even means. It means I am. Yahweh means He is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is.
He is.
He is. He is.
He is.
Jesus.
He is Elohim, God, Judge, Creator.
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah.
El Elyon, the Most High God.
Adonai, Lord, Master.
El Shaddai,
Lord God Almighty.
El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of ancient days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the peacemaker.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kenah, jealous.
He is Jehovah Emkadosh, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is a star.
A scepter out of Israel.
The accursed of God.
The captain of the host of the Lord.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers.
The rock of my salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the day's man.
The interpreter.
My rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned, the crown of pure gold.
The most blessed forever.
He is the forsaken.
A worm and no man.
He is Jehovah Ra.
He is my restorer.
The King of glory.
He who sitteth king forever.
He is a stranger and an alien.
My strong rock.
My rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men.
The rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength.
The rock of habitation.
He is as rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth.
The rock of my heart.
The shield.
The rock of my refuge.
A king and priest after the order of Melchizedek.
A brother born for adversity.
The friend that loveth at all times.
A stone of grace.
A friend that sticketh closer than the brother.
He is as ointment poured forth.
My well-beloved.
A bundle of myrrh.
A cluster of henna blooms.
The rose of Sharon.
He is the lily of the valley.
The lily of the valley.
The chiefest among 10,000.
His countenance is as Lebanon.
Yea, he is altogether lovely.
He is my beloved and my friend.
He is holy, holy, holy.
He's a sanctuary.
The great light.
A son given.
The mighty God.
The Father of eternity.
He is a child born.
The Prince of Peace.
An ensign of the people.
The nail fastened in a sure place.
A strength to the poor.
The strength to the needy in distress.
A shadow from the heat.
A refuge from the storm.
He is the rock of ages.
A crown of glory and beauty.
He is a stone.
A triad stone.
A covert from the tempest.
He is as rivers of water in a dry place.
As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
As a hiding place from the wind.
He is
the king in his beauty.
My leader.
The everlasting God.
He is mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth.
He is a light of the Gentiles.
The covenant of the people.
The polished shaft.
Glorious.
He is the Holy One of Israel.
He is a man of sorrows.
Despised.
He is rejected.
He is stricken.
Smitten.
He is wounded.
And bruised.
He is oppressed.
He is my portion, my maker, my husband.
He's the God of the old earth.
The witness to his people.
A leader.
A commander.
The redeemer.
He is mighty.
He is my physician.
Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
David, their king.
Their king.
My resting place.
My feeder.
The plant of renown.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there.
He is the prince of princes.
The Messiah.
The prince.
The strength of the children of Israel.
The hope of thy people.
The ruler.
He is king over all the earth.
He is
a refiner's fire.
Fuller's soap.
My refiner.
My purifier.
The son of righteousness.
He is Jesus, Yeshua, salvation.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
He is born as the king of the Jews.
He is a governor.
The Nazarene.
The bridegroom.
He is meek, lowly.
He is the one of whom the Father says, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
The son of the living God.
Jesus.
The Christ.
The rock.
The builder.
The prophet of Nazareth.
He is betrayed.
Mocked. Crucified.
The Holy One of God.
My brother.
The carpenter. And his life is a ransom.
He is the son of the blessed.
The son of the highest.
God my savior.
The horn of salvation.
The day spring from on high.
A savior which is Christ the Lord.
The salvation of God.
He is the glory of thy people Israel.
Lord of the Sabbath.
My healer.
The Christ of God.
My servant.
The chosen of God.
He is risen.
He is risen.
A prophet mighty in deed and word.
He is the word.
The word that was with God.
The word that was God.
The light of men.
The true light.
The word that was made flesh.
He is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father.
The Lamb of God.
My teacher.
The gift of God.
He is Messiah.
The bread of God.
The bread of life.
He is my meat.
My drink.
The light of the world.
The door of the sheep.
The good shepherd that laid down his life.
The scent of the Father.
He is the resurrection.
The king of the daughter of Zion.
The corn of wheat.
He is the light.
The light.
My Lord, Master.
My example.
He is the way,
the truth,
the life,
the vine,
scourged,
crowned with a crown of thorns,
crucified as the King of the Jews.
He is exalted,
glorified,
the Holy One and the Just,
the Prince of Life,
the Anointed,
the Prince and a Savior.
He is Lord Jesus.
He is Lord of all.
The Judge.
Jesus of Nazareth.
The Mercy Seat.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
He is the firstborn among many brethren.
Over all, God blessed forever.
Lord over all.
The Deliverer. Deliverer.
Lord both of the dead and living.
The Minister of the Circumcision.
He is my wisdom.
My righteousness.
My sanctification.
My redemption.
He is the foundation.
My Passover, that spiritual rock.
The head of every man.
The first fruits of them that slept.
He is the last Adam.
The quickening spirit.
The image of God.
His unspeakable gift.
My peace.
He is the offering.
He is the sacrifice.
The head over all things to the church.
He is he that filleth all in all.
He is a servant who humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. He is the Lord Jesus Christ,
the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of every creature,
creator of all things,
the firstborn from the dead,
the head of the body, the church,
the head of all principalities and powers.
He is my all in all.
He is
our Lord Jesus Christ himself.
He is Lord of peace.
He is our Lord of hope.
He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the justified,
the mediator,
the righteous judge,
the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
He's obedient, and his throne is forever and ever.
And ever. And ever.
He is
ever.
The upholder of all things,
the express image of his person,
the brightness of his glory.
He is Jesus Christ,
same yesterday, today, and forever.
The shepherd of the sheep,
the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead.
He is a minister of the sanctuary
and of the true tabernacle,
and his flesh is the veil which was rent in two.
He is the altar,
the offerer,
the forerunner for us.
Entered even Jesus.
He is the priest,
the priest,
the high priest,
the great high priest,
the intercessor,
the surety,
the covenanter.
He is
the captain of salvation,
the author and finisher of faith,
the king of righteousness,
the king of peace.
He is crowned with glory and honor.
He is the tempted,
the merciful,
the faithful.
He is holy,
harmless, undefiled.
He is the shepherd.
He is
the perfect.
He is my helper,
the lamb without blemish
and without spot.
The living stone.
He's a chief
cornerstone.
He is a precious stone.
He is guileless.
He is revival.
He is the chief
shepherd
that shall again appear.
Today's star,
my Savior.
He is the word of life.
He is the life.
He is that eternal life which was with the Father.
He is Jesus Christ,
the righteous,
the Savior of the world,
the true God,
the true God,
the advocate.
He is the advocate.
The advocate.
He is
Jesus Christ.
He is
the first begotten of the dead.
He is
the prince of the kings of the earth.
He is
the almighty,
which is,
which was,
which is to come.
He is
the beginning and the ending.
He is
the Alpha and the Omega.
He is
the first and the last.
He is
he
that liveth.
He is
the tree of life.
He is
the hidden manna.
He is
the faithful and the true witness.
He is
the Amen.
He is
the beginning of the creation of God.
He is
the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
He is
the Lamb that was slain.
Church, isn't God powerful? Isn't he wonderful? There is nothing outside of him. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, from the beginning of time to the end of time, there is nothing outside of him. He is in all things and he is for all things and he's just so powerful. This God of the universe decides to take things and take the matters into his own hands. And the Bible says that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the title of my message this morning. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. He desires for us to be in his presence. But he wants his presence to be made known and manifested to his people. But not only that. That the God of the universe that we just heard of. This powerful God is now in the form of a baby. Galatians 4 verses 4 to 5 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that might receive adoption as sons. God was saying, enough is enough. Satan, you have put my people in oppression. You have deceived them for too long, and you have bound them in sin. But I am coming to redeem them and to set them free. And I'm going to do it myself. And so I'm putting myself into the form of flesh. And I am called God Emmanuel. God is with us. That is who has come today on this day that we celebrate. And now Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of us. In the spiritual realm, there were two things that happened. And I'm going to show it to you right now. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it said, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now listen to this. It says, now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Why was he troubled? Because he was driven by the satanic. Because in the satanic realm, Satan and his demons were trembling because they knew who had just come to the earth. They knew who was being put into the body, into that infant's body. It was the savior of the world. All that we heard right now on that video, all that God is, was placed on the inside of Jesus as in an infant form. And so Satan comes and he wages war against him because of fear. Because he knows, let's kill him, let's kill him. We need to kill him, we need to kill the Savior. And so in that realm, there is chaos in hell. Demons are screaming. But then, for the church, we see in Luke chapter 2 that the heavenly hosts and the angels come and meet up with the shepherds. And they come and they reveal and say, fear not, for the Savior has been born. It says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth and peace among those whom he is pleased. Peace and joy to you. Why? Because the Savior of the world has come. God in the form of flesh has come to walk with you and to set you free from the ensnares and the entrapments of sin that Satan has put on your life. He's come to set you free, and he's come to return you back to the holiness and to restore you as holy as the apple of his eye. He has come to redeem you through the Savior. This is why we celebrate Jesus. This is why we celebrate Jesus. I love the fact that Satan is declaring war, but God is coming in the form of peace and joy to his people. Church, this is the first coming. The second coming is coming. When Satan knows now already that God is not coming to bring peace and joy on the earth, but he's coming with his army, and he's coming with his church, and he's coming with his saints, and he's coming with his wrath to come and judge Satan. What a glorious day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. So for you and I, we can celebrate on this day. But just know that greater is he that is in you this morning. As hell wages war with you. We are in a war here on this earth. But we need to know who lives on the inside of us today. Emmanuel, God is with you. He is with us. He is with his church. He is with us. And so this morning, church, the word of the Lord this morning that I've had in my heart for quite some time right now, preparing for the sermon, is God wants us to be reminded of who He is. He wants us to be reminded of who came. And He wants us to be reminded of who now dwells on the inside of us, of His church. That faith would arise. That we would take Him by His word and His promises. That we would not believe the reports of this world. But we would have full confidence in the glory of the risen King. That He now dwells on the inside of us. And in this moment, as that is being revealed to us, that our praise and our worship will rise before Him. For He is worthy to be glorified and to be honored this day. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we need Him and how awesome He is this morning. I pray this morning that as through this preached word, that we understand that God, Emmanuel, is with us. That faith would arise in the church. That we would not just be knowledgeable of God's word, but we would see the word become a living testament in our lives. That we would see the person. We would experience the person of Jesus Christ. We experience God the Father. And His word will come and transform us. Church, there is something that happens when we've been transformed by the word of God, by the living word of God, and by His Spirit. Something happens. When we experience Him, our faith rises. When faith rises, we reveal Him. Think about it. When faith rises in His heart, through we start acting in spaces of obedience according to His will. And those expressions are expressions of His nature here on earth. And His kingdom is then established here on earth. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. Christmas is the day to be reminded of the coming of Jesus. But it's also the day to be reminded that He's come to redeem His nation and He's chosen and He's set apart people for Him to consecrate them once again and for Him to put His Spirit on the inside of them and their faith will arise and they will see the glory and the magnificence of who He is and through that their faith will arise and that His kingdom shall be established as it is in heaven here on earth. That's what I pray this morning. Anybody can feed somebody today. Organizations can feed people. Organizations can sponsor equipment and food and clothes. And all those things are good and they are part of the kingdom. But the world is not crying out for those things. Although those things help and there are tools and there are ways for expressions of God to come. But what they're really crying out, as we read in Galatians 4, is there is a cry from the heart of people, David crying out, oh Savior, won't you come and redeem us and save us? There is a cry on this earth and the world needs the church. The world wants the church to establish the kingdom of heaven. And so in the year of 2022, I don't know if there's a preach going forward, but what I want to say is for the year 2022, maybe some of you are battling with cancer. Maybe some of you are battling with COVID. Maybe some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are struggling financially. Some of you have lost your jobs. I want to declare to you today that the God of heaven and earth, the I am that I am, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, He is with you and His Spirit is with you. And there is nothing that you cannot handle because He is for you and He is with you. And I pray today that you would rest on Him and rest in Him this morning. I pray that you would take His word and lift it up and that you would take Him by His word this morning because He is the living word this morning. It's taking up Jesus and declaring Him into our situation and into the year 2022. I pray this morning that you would walk in the Spirit. In the book of Judges, in chapter 7, Gideon's about to go into war. And God says to him, 300 men, that took their hands in the water and they picked it up and they brought it to their mouths. They were drinking of the Spirit. They're discerning of what is happening. It's a symbolic moment of that we walk in the Spirit, yet we are mindful of reading the seasons and the times of what is happening around us. We cannot be ostriches with our head in the water. No, no, no. He wants us to be aware of what's happening and to discern what the Spirit of God is saying to us, that we may be effective here on this earth. I pray that your eyes would be opened and your ears would be opened to what the Lord is saying. I pray you would take him by his word. The last line of Judges in chapter, I think it's 21 or 22. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own hands. Church, the time of doing church and knowing the Bible and also consulting the world and things of this world, those times are over. Those times are over. The time is now to take God by his word. The time is now to believe in who he is. The time is now, this Christmas day, he's saying to us today, just know who came and know who now lives on the inside of you. I am the great I am. Will you take me by my word? Will you stir up your faith? Will you stir up my faith? Will you stir up faith? Sorry. Will you stir up faith in this time? Church, that's my plea for the church today. That we would have faith in our God once again. Not to be comfortable, but to take him by his word. Even at the cost of being in prison, even at the cost of suffering, will we take him by his word and declare it in the name of Jesus. There are promises from our Father where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. I pray this morning that you would not consider the things of this world, but you would consider the things of heaven. You're taken by his word this morning. And as we consider him, that his presence, God with us, Emmanuel, would overwhelm our hearts today, and that we would praise him and lift him up in this hour and in this time. To him be all the glory and all the praise and the honor. He is worthy to be worshipped by those that have been redeemed. His holy creation. In Matthew 28 verse 20, Jesus ends with the promise to his disciples. He says this, and behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. Our Father, Jesus, Emmanuel, will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter through the struggles and the times of trouble, he will not leave you, church. Today is the reminder that Jesus came to set you free, and he is God with us, Emmanuel. He is a mighty king. He is glorious. So I pray for you today that you would hear what the Lord is saying today, that you would take him by his word, and you would know his presence, and you would walk intimately with him. And I pray that you would walk with God like Enoch, in obedience to him in this hour, in this time. God bless you, church. God bless you today, and celebrate the life of Jesus Christ today like never before, for he is worthy. Amen.